The gospel. I invite us to tune our ears to listen for the dance in this passage between fear, hope, and wisdom and discernment. This is the story of the visit of the wise men. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go, search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may go and pay homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road.
According to news reports, due to climate change, frankincense is getting even more precious and rare. Happy New Year! We've crossed into another year, season of possibilities and hope, New Year's resolutions, goal settings, and new ventures. As we also at the same time end the excitement of the holidays and return to the normalcy of school and work and regular family life, whatever regular means. So it seems fitting to look at the wise men today, though Epiphany really occurs on January 6th, so we can actually celebrate a couple more days. We don't know much about the wise men from our text, really, but we have filled in a lot of the blanks throughout the years. Commonly, we think of them as being three. Sometimes they are given names. They come from a country east, maybe Persia. I read one book this week, a travelogue about Iran, who talked about that they originated in Qom and that their bones are in Cologne, which I thought was two good places. I've been to both. But really, we don't know where they came from or who they were. What we do know is that they set out on a journey because they had observed the world around them and they had seen the star in its rising. And they were also scholars enough that they knew their history, their religion, their astrology, whatever they were studying, that they knew the importance and meaning of the star. And because they saw and they understood enough, they took the next step and they set out on a journey following this star to seek confirmation of what they had learned and seen. And we don't know what adventures they encountered along the way, or how long they traveled, what boundaries they crossed. We first encounter them in Jerusalem, where they are asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to worship him." And this is where their wisdom fails them. You have to wonder what happened. Getting towards the capital, the important city of Jerusalem, did they abandon their search and just went to the mightiest man in town? Or did it suddenly become cloudy and they couldn't see the star anymore? Maybe their GPS had a hiccup. Or maybe God had a side agenda that needed to be addressed first before the wise men could reach Jesus. Anyhow, we find the wise men 9 miles off course, in Jerusalem rather than Bethlehem. But they're willing to ask for directions, just in the wrong place at the wrong time. I imagine them walking around Jerusalem, maybe at the gate. "Where is the child who has been born of King of the Jews? For we observed his star in the rising and have come to worship him." Or maybe the innkeeper where they're turning in for the night. "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star in the rising and have come to worship him." Until the word spreads throughout Jerusalem and reaches King Herod. Now, when I imagine King Herod, I imagine something similar maybe to the current situation in Syria. I try, or any other of the rulers of the Arab Spring that have been removed. But when I imagine this in Syria, I imagine President Assad holding on to power, trying to hold on to power, even though Arab League observers are around now, and clinging to that control and trying everything possible. And I imagine Herod, the great as he is known, having a similar grip on Jerusalem, though he was also in the tight grip of Rome, who had anointed him, a non-Jew, as king of the Jews in Jerusalem, and who was known for his splendor and his construction, having built many monumental buildings, theaters, fortresses, raising the temple in Jerusalem, rebuilding it, adding more height to it, and building an even bigger palace for himself and a winter palace in Jericho. Herod was a tyrant who would not tolerate any contenders to his throne. He was power-hungry, controlling, and ruthless, murdering many people along the way, including his wife, sons, mother-in-law, brother-in-law. He was also known for his cunning ways in going about his rule. But this simple question that is making its way around Jerusalem, "Where is the child who has been born the King of the Jews?" is a threat to his rule, and it frightens him. And all of Jerusalem, because we know what happens when a tyrant is frightened, who knows what he might do. And so Herod calls together the scribes, the chief priests, and calling them together in the same way as later on the Jewish leaders are called together during the trials and crucifixions accounts. Dark clouds are gathering on the horizon. And he asks them where the Messiah is to be born. The Messiah? How did Herod make that jump from the child who has been born King of the Jews to wondering about the Messiah? the Anointed One, the Christ. Well, the chief priests and scribes, though not having been aware of any significant events happening in front of their eyes, so to speak, do know that the wise men were following the wrong text. This is not about Isaiah 60, where the prophet promises the Jews who had come back to a destroyed Jerusalem to look up, to hope, to expect everything to change. Rise, shine, for your light has come. The poet anticipates that Jerusalem will become again a beehive of productivity and prosperity, a new center of international trade. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. The religious leaders will tell him this is not the right text. Jerusalem will not prosper again and be restored in its wealth and as a center of the global economy. Instead, it is a text from Micah that this star points to. In Bethlehem in Judea, they reply, for this is what the prophet has written, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Armed with his knowledge, Herod is calling the wise men to him. He gives them new directions and milks them for any information they might have on top of it. What time exactly did you see the star? And then he sends them on their way, basically as his representatives. Who does Herod think he is kidding? No reigning monarch would travel to a little town to worship a peasant child being proclaimed his successor. And as the text says, after they heard the king, they went on their way. I wonder what they heard, what they thought about what they heard from Herod. And the star is back as well, guiding them to Bethlehem, to the place where Jesus was born, where Saul anointed David, where Ruth and Naomi met Boaz. They journeyed from Jerusalem with its great pretensions to Bethlehem, with its modest promises. There's a story about a fugitive and a rabbi. One day, a young fugitive trying to hide himself from the enemy entered a small village. The people were kind to him and offered him a place to stay. But when the soldiers who sought the fugitive asked where he was hiding, everyone became very fearful. The soldiers threatened to burn the village and kill every person in it unless the young man was handed over to them before dawn. The people went to the rabbi and asked him what to do. Torn between handing over the boy to the enemy and having his people killed, the rabbi withdrew to his room and read his Bible, hoping to find an answer before dawn. In the early morning, his eyes fell on these words: "It is better that one man dies than that the whole people be lost." Then the rabbi closed the Bible, called the soldiers and told them where the boy was hidden. And after the soldiers led the fugitive away to be killed, there was a feast in the village because the rabbi had saved the lives of the people. But the rabbi did not celebrate. Overcome with a deep sadness, he remained in his room. That night, an angel came to him and asked, "What have you done?" He said, "I handed over the fugitive to the enemy." Then the angel said, "But don't you know that you have handed over the Messiah?" "How could I know?" the rabbi replied anxiously. Then the angel said, "If instead of reading your Bible you had visited this young man just once and looked into his eyes, you would have known." The wise men had looked into Herod's eyes. They had looked into the light of the star. And they journeyed on to Bethlehem. Mary Schertz, a professor at Associate Mennonite Biblical Seminaries, says there are two things about this story about the wise men that continue to take her breath away. One is the integrity of the light maintained by the wise men. These are not peasants. The clues in the text indicate that they are people of power and wealth. They cause a stir when they come to Jerusalem. People notice them. They come to the attention of the king in ways that not everyone coming into Jerusalem does, no matter what they ask. They have treasures to open and lay before the baby when they find him. Yet even though Herod sweeps them into his court, flatters them with his questions and his need of their help, they stay true to the purposes of God. They honor the light they have followed so long rather than succumbing to Herod's attention, making their homeward journey a precarious one. They take courage in hand and disobey the reigning king to protect the baby king they came to honor. The other is the sheer terror of the principalities and powers that is unleashed against the light that we celebrate. A boy child under two and some wise men completely upset the reigning monarch in Jerusalem. He is enraged. We cannot read the story of the wise men and their protection of the infant Jesus without attending to the pain of the other families in Bethlehem who lost their baby boys to Herod's rampage. It is a sobering account of how fragile the emotional balance of those in power is. The baby king of the Jews posed no real political threat to Herod, then or later. His rage is completely out of proportion to the reality. But what havoc and sorrow is suffered. And so the light shines on through the centuries. The wise men had many choices to make along the way, but they continued to seek the light. Often we want to be able to see into the future. We say, how will next year be for me? Where will I be 5 or 10 years from now? There are no answers to these questions. Henry Nouwen talks about just enough light for the next step. Mostly we have just enough light to see the next step, what we have to do in the coming hour or the following day. The art of living is to enjoy what we can see and not complain about what remains in the dark. When we are able to take the next step with the trust that we will have enough light for the step that follows, we can walk through life with joy and be surprised at how far we go. Let's rejoice in the little light we carry. The truth is, nobody went home the same way from Christmas. Not Zechariah and Elizabeth, not Mary and Joseph, not the shepherds, not Anna and Simeon. Nor are we. We have walked in the light of God's love again this Christmas. The light of Christ come into the world sends us on our journey this year. May we journey with the same diligence and persistence as the wise men, following the light of Christ. May we find the same joy, gratitude, and desire to worship, expecting new things to happen far beyond our own imagination or prediction. Amen.